Dynasty Radio, 1382.
Understand you by and by. Take nothing less than the suffering best. Do not obey, no mistake or say, but you can pass the test. Just move on up to a greater day. With just a little of faith, if you put your mind to it, you can surely do it.
This is Paula Massey, and you're listening to the Education of the Miseducated System. Thank you for listening today. Today is September 29th, all day long, and a few days will be in the month of October. And it's one of my favorite times of the year, the fall season. So anyway, we're going to be getting started with our show. You are listening to Dynasty Radio 1382, the Revolutionary Radio for Revolutionary People. This is a live call-in talk show, and I want to let you know that if you want to talk with me, you have a comment, you have a question, or you just want to make a statement, feel free to call in. You call it at 646-716-7572. Press the number 1, and we'll put you in queue. All right. So let me go here. Been running all day long, trying to get back here, picking up stuff, doing what I do, keeping busy, staying out of trouble. And, you know, the work that I do in my community causes me to run around and meet people and talk to people and try to take care of our babies, because it's important to me that our young children get the help that they need and that somebody has to stand up for what it is that our children need. And so I appear to be the one to do that. And then later on this evening after the show, I lead a program. It's called Sisters Speak. And we do like round table discussions. Tonight we're going to be talking about education. So what I talk to you about today, I'll be able to talk to them also about the same thing. Wow, great. I am so excited about what's happening in my community. And what's going to be taking place in your communities, a lot of things. I've been listening to a lot of talk radio, and I'm happy about that, about how our black people, we're realizing that we have the power, and we have what it takes to get things done. And our Creator has created us to get things done. And I'm just happy about it. I'm just happy about that we're opening our eyes and we're waking up and realizing that we don't have to depend on a lot of people for a lot of things. We can do things on our own. So basically, I'm going to go ahead on and start the show with what I'm going to be talking about. And there's a few things that I want to talk about that I want to, like I said, what I want to be discussing today with the ladies over at the facility where I'm going to be speaking, and I do that the last Tuesday of every month. So I just got this month, and I got one more month to do, and then somebody else is going to take over. So basically what I want to talk to you, I want to throw some words out to you that I've been throwing out there for a while, and one of them is restorative justice. And if you don't know what that is, it's something that you could Google in your computer, restorative justice. And I spoke to you last week about how the school that I'm doing Black Student Union with, I'm an advisor for our Hanford West, California, Hanford West High School in Hanford, California, their Black Student Union. And they have a form of restorative justice. And I kind of like how restorative justice is, because instead of sending our young people to prison or to jail, there's another outlet of helping them to see what it is that you did when you committed a crime, who your crime affected, what it affected, and what impact it had on your community. Because a lot of times when things are done, it's not only our black boys, it's everybody. And every time we do something, we don't understand the impact that it has as a whole. So what this restorative justice does with our young people and how it enables them to come face to face with your victim, the person that you victimized. And you get to hear from them how they feel about what you did to them and how what you did impacted them. And now you get to also hear, as a perpetrator, from the victim, what we think your punishment should be. So the victim has a play or, you know, in what happens to this person. And aside from going to jail, aside from going to prison, this is something that, I don't know who came up with this idea. I don't know, but it's happening in Oakland, California, and it's with the Oakland Youth, and Restorative Justice for Oakland Youth in Oakland, California. So if you want to know about it, just go into Restorative Justice. Restorative Justice, it was just posted online September 1st. So, okay. Type in that and see if you can pull that up and read a little bit more about it. But what our high school is doing something similar to that, where these students, instead of sending them to community school or expelling them, and a lot of times we can't expel them because they have an individual educational plan that they have to be followed, and they have to be followed in the least restrictive manner. We talked about that a few weeks ago, the IEP. So this is a way that things could be worked out, and the student could actually see your disruption of the classroom, your disruption of other students. This is what is causing your fighting on the campus, your smoking weed on the campus. This is what we could do. So I like that. Another word that inculcate, I haven't spoken about that word in a while. Inculcate is the process of somebody constantly dripping a doctrine or teaching on you for a long period of time where it's ingrained in you. It's a way of our society putting in your brain and in your mind what it is they want you to feel about a certain thing or think about a certain thing or remember something. And I liken that to the stone, the smooth stone that is in the running water. And it becomes, maybe might be have been ragged, becomes smooth as the water continues to roll over it. And then you have that steady dropping of a drip of water on that stone. What happens is that it constantly wears a hole in that stone, and that stone, that hole is there permanently. Liken it to myself when I was growing up in New York in the public schools. I love my public schools, but we were taught the Star Spangled Banner, all these patriotic songs we had to sing. It was something that was done in our school. And we did that. It was done so we could know, as little black kids, we could know about this great, great country of ours. And today I could read, I could sing with the best of them. I could sing those songs with the best of them. So they can't pull out a song, a patriotic song that is not an American, quote unquote, patriotic song that I don't know because it was inculcated. It was poured into me. It was dripped on me. I was saturated in it. So that's what happens with our children when they go to school. The doctrine or the teaching that they want to instill in our children, not how to think, but what to think. Now we have a new concept, which is called Common Core. Now it wants you to know how to think, critical thinking that they want you to look at. And I was just sharing this with another person earlier about Common Core. They were saying how we should do away with it. And I kind of looked at that a little bit differently. I just think that the Common Core didn't need to be thrown into the school like it was for all these different grades. I think that if you were going to implement a new plan or a new standard for the school, that it needs to start at the lower levels. Kindergarten, please, then going on up. But you're going to start at a fifth grade level. You got fifth graders. Now you're going to learn Common Core, and now we want you to do critical thinking. But you're still reading at a third grade level, but you're in fifth grade, but now you want me to read this passage out of this book and tell you what I think of it. I can't even read it, let alone tell you what I think about it, because I don't even comprehend what I just got finished reading. That's my issue with Common Core. My issues with 1 + 1 is no more longer 2, but you got all these other little factors you're throwing in there, and parents can't even work with their children. So if there were parents that were had that homework time together with their children, it is so frustrating now because parents don't even understand what in the world is both. What is this you're bringing home? I don't understand it. There's no instruction to me. Okay, and the child don't understand. But all the child can say, that's not the way the teacher did it. That's not the way we did it. Anyway, you know, then mom is looking like she does, or dad is looking like, whoever's working with that child is looking like, you really don't know what you're doing. Oh, yeah, they don't. Your school has just all of a sudden went and done something else. So here we go. Let me go back to this place here. Then I have people just Facebooking me all the time. I don't know why they send me all these messages. All of a sudden, I got all these messages that people want to send me, and I don't understand why, but nevertheless, I'll continue on with what I'm doing. Let's look here and see where I'm at. Okay, this is where I'm going to start. Okay. We're going to start today with the family education, family policy, what is it called? The Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act, which is called FERPA. We're going to start with that right now. A few months ago, maybe about a year ago, I talked to you about the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act, and I talked to you about how to obtain your school's, your child's school records. And we talked about the FERPA because there was rights in the Privacy Act that protected you and protected your students' information from other people obtaining this child's record. Family, I want to let you know they updated this FERPA Act back in April. I believe it was in April, and I'm going to tell you right now when they did it because it was like, what? Are you kidding me? Here it is right here. It looked like they updated it. Let me see if I can go back. Looked like they updated it in April. April of this year. So some things have really changed with the FERPA, and I want to share some of those things that you want to look at. Now, the old document says that schools are required by the federal and state laws to maintain certain records and to make these records available to you upon a request, you as being the parent caregiver or non-custodial parent because you are the parent. The Federal Family Educational Rights Act, Privacy Act, and also the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act established a minimum requirement school systems must meet in maintaining, protecting, and providing access to student school records. The state laws will sometimes go beyond these minimum requirements and provide parents with additional rights to review, modify, or seek other changes in these records. Be sure to obtain a copy of your child's, of your own state and school district's school records laws and procedures by contacting the school district's director of special education. Now, obtaining your school records, like I said, there's four records that you have, and one is a cumulative file, and that's that contains a little bit more a profile part of your child with personal identification data and perhaps some types of academic achievement levels. Some teacher reports and report cards. When they say teacher reports, say, for instance, you go to the meeting, at school, you have a meeting with your teacher, she's going to put that in your cumulative folder, and also your report cards. And then there's a confidential file. The confidential file is also accessible to parents, and that may be kept at your child's school office or in a central administrative office where the special education program offices are located
So wherever your special education program offices are located, that's where your child's folded. And I'm talking to those who are still in, parents who are still in public school, and those of you who are homeschooling and your school is considered as a private school, you can, even if it's not considered as your child went to these public schools, you also have access to these files. Now, the file is called a confidential file because of the access to the information is limited to certain individuals. Now, your child's confidential records include all of the reports written as a result of school evaluation, reports of independent evaluators, if any medical records that you have had released, summary reports of evaluation team and eligibility committee meetings, your child's individual education program, IEP, and other correspondence between you and the school personnel. So all that stuff is in there. So see, any evaluation that your child has had, any team working with your child, all that information is in there. That's why they call it a confidentiality file, confidential file. Then you have the compliance file. Now, some schools have this and some schools don't. Okay, I'm not sure what school district, but that's why it's important for you to contact your school district and find out what files you have. So I want to make sure that you get these down. So it's a compliance file. Some school systems report to keep these files of eligibility meetings, correspondence between parents and school officials, and other similar documents in a separate compliance, separate from everything else. This, the contents of this compliance file demonstrates that the school system has met timelines, notifications, and consent regulations required by the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. So that file says, oh, okay, you want my child to be evaluated. Okay, you gave my child, said my child is qualified for IEP. Now you have a certain amount of time to get things done. And that compliance file, it has the date that your child was sent to the office or sent for evaluation. The evaluation was done in a certain amount of time. You were notified in a certain amount of time. And they got the child in the right class in a certain amount of time. So that's what they're compliant. So if there's ever a need that they have evaluated your child and you felt like things were lagging, they didn't do what they needed to do, the school, this is a file that you need to see. And you also try, family, keep a record. If you got a little book, just keep every time. This is my child's book, and I'm writing, especially when you go into things, like write down the times, write down when you went in, who you talked to. And I know it's hard. Oh, man, I know it's hard to document. Who wants to sit there and take the time to document? But in reality, it only takes a few seconds. We're not asking you to write a book. We ask you to document. And I know that I'm guilty. I'm guilty of not documenting, and I've lost a lot, or I've had to go through a lot of things because I didn't document and didn't get a lot of stuff that was due me because I didn't document, okay? So document. And then there was times when I documented and I didn't need to have the documentation. So six in one hand, half a dozen other. You don't know when you're going or what you're going to need, so let's do that, okay? It's not going to hurt us, especially your baby. And then there's a discipline file. The discipline, some schools may maintain a separate file, another separate file, regarding discipline issues involving long-term suspension or expulsion. So they're going to keep a record of how many, some people call them referrals, some people call them citations that your child was sent to the office on a regular basis. They keep a record they document, schools will document. So they're going to keep that you went to the office so this many times, but up out of your seat. Every day you're up out of your seat and they send you to the office. So there's a problem here. So they have that, and before they send you to the student attendance review board, they didn't say that here, but or you're suspended or expelled from school, and it's talking about a long-term suspension. I don't know how long a long-term suspension, but any type of a suspension or any type of expulsion is not good. I'm serious. It's not good. When our children are expelled from these school districts, they go into a county school district, and then they're put into these community schools where the educational system is even worse, and they're not learning the things that they would have learned in the public school, given what they do learn there. So these are some things that that I talked to you about when I talked about these Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act. These are the files that are available to you. So you might have to dig a little. If you're the type of person that don't mind digging and asking questions, you'll find out a whole lot of things, you know, about how to get copies of your child's school records and the whole thing. And also examining those records, you want to know. Now, one of the things that I talked when I first started, I said that the Family Educational Rights Privacy Act, and I call it FERPA, had been upgraded, and it was upgraded due to the Common Core. And I know that I talked to you about Title I money and how the Title I money is distributed throughout the school districts and to different schools. And then we talked one time about the lunch program, the breakfast program that they stole from the Black Panthers. They didn't want them feeding them, so we said, we're going to burn up everything you got, and we're going to start feeding them anyway. So anyway, that's another. So all this is what they used to do up until about a year or so ago, that when your child came home from school the first day of school, or maybe you got in before they started school, a stack of papers that you had to fill out. And if you qualify for free or reduced lunch, you could just say, circumstance or market, this is what we make a year, and send the paperwork or the pink paper, whatever it is, and your child would get free or reduced lunch based on what you said, how many people in your family, whatever. Now it is that you just no longer fill that out. Now you got to fill out the paperwork, you free or reduced lunch. Yeah, I want this. This is how much money I make, and this is where I get my money from, whether it's Social Security, workers' comp, whether it's the welfare office, you get a payment every month, or your paycheck where you work, and not so much as they want to know how much you're getting and where you're getting it from, your employer's name. All of that information is now requested when you're getting your information now, when you want your child to sign up for these programs. Now I'm going to go into the new FERPA form. Okay. They're saying the same thing, that you're eligible to inspect your child's folders and stuff like this, but this is the thing that gives me, is now they're telling you that schools may disclose without consent directory information. Now, the directory information is a list of all the students that are in the school and has all the information. The directory information, such as student's name, their address, telephone number, date and place of birth, any honors and awards, and dates of attendance. They're going to disclose that without consent. So they say, however, schools must tell parents and eligible parents about the directory information and allow parents eligible students a reasonable amount of time to request that the school not disclose directory information about them. Schools must notify parents and eligible students annually of their rights under FERPA. The actual means of notification, special letter, inclusion in a PTA bulletin, student handbook, or newspaper article is left to the discretion of each school. Question, how many people in your community actually get your newspaper? How much is your newspaper? How much do they report? Do they report this stuff? How many of you in the community actually attend Parent Teachers Association meetings? Okay. You get in a special letter. How many are going to actually read that letter? If it's not, is it just too addressed to the parents, it's like a regular little letter. It's not actually addressed to you, but it's addressed to the parents. Okay, come on. So whatever, they're not required to make sure that, and then you got the handbook. So when you get all these papers that you have to sign, you get a handbook also, and it's all just piled in together. You just got off from work, and so you're trying to figure out what it is. But I'm telling you, parents, if you don't want your child information disclosed, you have to look at it, and you have to do something about it, or they will do whatever they need to do. One thing I do want to discuss is also the fact that once you become a private school or a homeschool parent, a lot of the stuff you don't have to worry about. That's the whole beauty of it. A lot of the stuff you don't have to worry about, and all depends on what state you're in, okay? You need to know your homeschool laws in your state. I didn't have to worry about filling out paperwork for my children's lunch. I didn't have to worry about filling out paperwork for their handbook or signing in a back sheet of the handbook and turning it back in. But I am the handbook. I make my own rules for my school. I taught my children how I needed to teach them because I knew their learning styles. Yes, I followed the basics, you know, reading, writing, arithmetic, social studies. I taught those things. And I did my PE, and we had a step team. Both of my boys, the step team at the church that we were going to at the time. Oh, we did cooking classes. We did woodworking classes. We did energy conservation classes. Things that my children actually are involved in now. My men are involved in now as grown adults. So a lot of times when you're homeschooling, you can pick and choose what you need to do, and you don't have to worry about all this. But you definitely want to get these folders, okay? Now, some states have to keep them for so long, and California says indefinitely. Some states say you got to keep them for 60 years. So there's a big old warehouse, or it might be on a microfiche dish, or they might give it to you on a dish, who knows. But you can still, if your children are graduated or in high school, in your home school, and maybe you've worked with them for so long, you can still have access to those files. I suggest that you get those. And because when your child decides like they want to go to college, you still have the access to these transcripts, and you can actually see how your child was doing and progress to where you are now. So it's a good tool to have so you can know, oh, well, my child was doing this in school, and this is the things that they said about my child, but I don't see that exhibited here. And a lot of times it's not going to be exhibited in the home because you are that child's first teacher, and you know what it takes to motivate that child. You know what it takes to do what you need to do, and you've been doing it so long, wonderfully, from the day they came into your home as a baby. So that's another thing I want to bring to the forefront right now. Like I said earlier, I'm going to be doing a presentation at about 6:30, and it's 5:30 my time right now. But I'm going to be talking about the records, the student records, and I'm going to be talking about education, what is it? And there's some of the things that if you decide that you still want your child to be in a public school, there's some things that you as a parent need to be aware of, okay? Let's look at the beginning of our babies, okay? When we look at the word educate, we're sending our children to school to be educated. What does educate to mean? What does educate, define educate? To develop or train the ear or the taste. Now, to educate one's palate, to appreciate fine food, to educate one's palate. So our children should be educated to be acceptable or to accept it or appreciate a curriculum or something that they're being taught. Remember how you say that you taste the baby palate with salt. And when something drains grains of salt on the baby's food, on the baby's tongue, that baby becomes accustomed to wanting salty food.
Okay, family, we lost Ms. Paula for a moment, but she will be back with us shortly, so make sure that you stay with us right here on the education of the miseducated system. Just so you know that we are going to be bringing back Food for Medicine with Ms. Kenya Jones and Dr. Athevia Dero. And that will be taking place this coming Friday at 6 o'clock p.m. Mountain Standard Time. So make sure that you set your time to tune in for Food for Medicine. This is the show that teaches you how to eat to live and not live to eat. I think that's how their slogan goes. But anyway, make sure you tune in for that. Make sure you tune in for Food for Medicine with Dr. Phoebe and Kenya Jones. Actually, it's Kenya Jones Mansere, okay? And so we're still waiting on Ms. Paula to return to us. And if you are just tuning in, this is the education of the miseducated system, and this is where you come to learn about homeschooling, where you can learn how to find ways to teach your child. Because as Ms. Paula always tells us, that our children are our responsibilities, and we are, in fact, the first teachers. And so a lot of times, not a lot of times, all the time, most of the time, we get up in the morning, we prepare our children, we send them off to be with strangers at the school that we don't know anything about. We don't know, all we know is that they have been qualified by the school itself, but they haven't been qualified by us. And we send our babies off to these people, and we allow them to teach and train our children in the way they should go, when that's really a job for us, the parents. And so what this show does is that we're trying to, give you a better way or an alternative way to educate your children instead of allowing other people to educate your children for you. Okay, so let me see if I have Ms. Paula back. Are you there, my sister? Okay, I thought Ms. Paula was back with us, but she's not. So anyway, as I was saying, I'm just trying to talk here till we get her back in. We're having some phone difficulties with her, but hopefully she will be back in with us. But as I was saying, that we really have to be focused more on what we're doing here. We got to focus more on the education of our children, because, and you all know, and I'm the same way, when it comes to other people who are coming at my children and, bringing harm to my children, I'm ready to fight, man. I'm telling you, I'm ready to go at it. I'm ready to put up my dukes and protect my children. But how is it that we are ready to get physical with people who are physical with our children, but we hesitate to get in there and fight for our children's mental state? We are we're laxy-daisy, if you will. We are content in what the world is teaching our babies, and it's not fair to them, because then they grow up and then they become like most of us here, looking and searching and trying to find the truth, trying to find information. And so it is our job as parents to do that for them, okay? So let me see if I can find my sister. Because I can talk for days. I mean, this is what I do. But I want to make sure I get her in here so that she can continue on with you all. And I still don't see her yet. So, and if you are there, Ms. Paula, from another number, please press the number 1, because it's so many numbers on the board, I can't tell which one is yours. So if you're there, then do so. But I just wanted to, to keep talking. I just wanted to kind of, tell you that I have the same story that a lot of you have when it comes to, dealing with the school system, because my son, I have a son, he's actually 18 now, but I had to take him out of the school system when he was in, I think, fifth grade. He might have been fourth grade, but I took him out of the school system because the school system is structured, and I like to say it's structured just like the structure is at the prison system, because I worked at the prison system, and I actually didn't see anything different between the prison system and what the school system was doing. And so after constantly going to the school and constantly talking to the teachers, constantly holding meetings with them and letting them know that they were not going to do to my child what they were doing to other children, and that was just giving them information and forcing them to think a certain way. And that is the problem that we have with a lot of the different schools. We force our children to think a certain way, and we shouldn't be forcing them, you know, or we shouldn't let anybody else to force them to think a certain way. We have to kind of pick and choose what goes into their brain, especially when they are small children, like babies. Like I have a granddaughter who is 2 years old, and we pick and choose for her what is allowed into her brain. You know, we don't allow negative information into her brain. We don't allow things that's going to boggle her down in her thinking. We actually encourage her, and we're working on her creative thinking skills, okay, because that's something that many of us lack. Many of us lack creative thinking skills, and that's by design, but that's for another show. But anyway, I'm working on that with her, and her mother is too. We're working on making sure that she's able to use her own thinking skills, her own critical thinking area, and that way she can start deciding and making, you know, as she get older, she can start deciding and making decisions for herself, you know, of course with the guidance of us, but still we want to, as you say, exercise that muscle in my grandbaby, okay? And that's what we had to do for my son. I was telling you I took my son out of school because the school system was not, they wasn't really concerned about my child. They was more concerned about him being at school and making sure that he was there. So, because, you know, if your child doesn't go to school, then they don't get the funding for your child being at school. So a lot of times we think that the schools are so concerned about our children. And there's some people who are. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying every teacher is not concerned about your child, but there are some people who actually are concerned about your child. But for the most part, from my observation and my experiences, okay, a lot of them are just doing protocol and making sure that your child comes to school and be in attendance, because if they don't, then they don't get the funding. And so why would you want to continue to send your child to places, these indoctrinating centers that you know, pretty much their agenda is to make sure your child gets there and get indoctrinated and get the money for the school system, you know. I said all that to say this. I don't think Ms. Paula's coming back, but I did want to tell you that, you know, we're not just doing this show because this is something that we want to, you know, do because it's the trend. Homeschooling is becoming a trend now. You know, it's not about that. It's about the fact that Ms. Paula and myself are both homeschool parents, and Ms. Paula actually runs a homeschool. Okay, but we both have experience. Both of us have adult children. Both of us have grandchildren, and we have experienced this. So we are bringing it to you to let you know that you are your child's first teacher, and this is your responsibility. This is not the responsibility of everyone else, you know. And I for the life of me, I cannot understand how parents get very upset and angry with teachers when their teachers don't teach their child right. How are you getting upset with teachers who miseducate your child when you should be the one educating your child in the first place? Okay? Can't get mad at that. You can't get mad at that. You can't expect someone else to care about your child more than you do, just as or more than you do. You can't expect that. You know, it'd be nice if you had that, and sometimes you will have that, but don't expect that. Expect yourself to do what you have to do. And I know a lot of you work. You know, fortunately for me, I own my own business. I don't have to, you know, punch a clock or be somewhere at a certain time unless I'm having meetings. But for the most part, I'm free and I'm able to deal with my children. I'm able to help them out with their, you know, with their learning, and I'm able to, you know, gear them and steer them the correct way so that they can do their own research and learn for themselves. So, and I know that a lot of you are not in that position. But, you know, that's okay, and that's why we do shows like this, because you may not be in that position, but if you just do a little bit every day, you know, even if you, let's say you work during the day, have night school for your child. Who says that your child has to learn during the day. Who says that? Who says that you have to have your child up and at school 8 o'clock in the morning so they can go and learn and be indoctrinated with all this information that you don't even know what they're teaching their child, because you don't even hardly go down to the school. And if you did, you don't understand the new math and all the words that they're coming up with and teaching your child. You don't understand what I'm saying? This is your responsibility. This is your job. And you have to really treat the job that you have with your child just as much as important as you do with the job that you go to every day. And a lot of times we don't do that, family. We do not do that. We do not see the job of a parent as being important or more important than a job that you clock every day. You are actually gearing the ideas, the thought processes of a human, a little child, a little baby that's going to grow up into an adult. That is what you are doing. And so when you put that job into the hands of other people, and you constantly put that job into the hands of other people, then you cannot be upset by the outcome that you receive from that. You cannot be upset when your child is learning something that's totally opposite of what you know or what you have learned or what you're trying to learn. You can't be mad about that. So what I say to you is, if you work and you, you know, you work at night, then the daytime is your time to teach your child. You know, teach them their alphabets and their numbers and whatever else you, you know, their science or whatever you have to teach them. You know, if you work during the day, then make it night school. Make it night school. The bottom line is that this is your job, and this is the one of the most important jobs that you will ever have to do in your lifetime. You are responsible for that. And the last thing you want to do is to have your child grow up and have to go out here and start researching, well, not just researching, but trying to undo the damage that was done, trying to unlearn what they have learned, just like us. Most of you who are listening right now, you know, you went to school, you learned about Christopher Columbus and the Easter Bunny and all these different things you learned about in school. I know I did. You know, I really thought the Easter Bunny was real. I really thought that bunnies laid eggs. You know, I thought that, you know, Santa Claus was real. I thought all this stuff was real, and I got this idea not only from home but also from school. And the school, what they do is that they reinforce that particular fantasy, if you will, you know. And I'm not saying I'm not saying take fantasy away from your children altogether. What I'm telling you is that when your child goes to these indoctrinating centers known as schools, you don't have any control over the information that is being injected into your child's memory, okay? This is what we have to realize. You have to have control over that. And you do have to realize that your child does have a subconscious mind. And you do have to realize that the information that's coming into your child's subconscious mind, it sits there. It doesn't go away. It just sits there in the back of their mind, okay? And it's because you did not take the necessary steps to make sure that the information that was going into their subconscious mind to nestle there was accurate information or information that is going to be useful for them, okay? This is the kind of stuff that we have to really focus on as their parents, as their first teachers. There is, you know, there's a lot of things that we do, and I do have a few pet peeves, but my pet peeves don't have to be yours. It's just that I share them with you because I am a homeschool parent. You know, I'm a homeschool grandparent as well. And so there are things that I had to change in my curriculum teaching my child when he was homeschooled. And he actually went from I took him out of school in fourth grade, and I homeschooled him up until his junior year in high school. And then after that, he went into a regular, it's not even a regular high school, it's like an online computer school. But he wanted to kind of, you know, get out there and, you know, mingle with everybody else and do his thing that way. So I said, okay, you can do the homeschool, or you can do the computerized school, which he does go into the school to do. But what I started to say was that I had to tailor my program that I was teaching him, I had to tailor it to him. And I also had to make some changes from the information that he was receiving. For instance, I'm going to give you a quick one of what I'm talking about, for instance. Okay, so let's say there's a color called white, okay? Now, we teach our children that white is pure and clean and all these different things and holy and all these other different things. But then when we, see other colors, such as people, we tell our children that's a white person, and our child can, whether you know it or not, the child becomes confused because it's like, I thought you told me white looked like this, and now you're telling me white looks like that. So, you know, these are the kind of things that we do that or other people do to our children, and we reinforce it, and it confuses our child. It really confuses our child, and you probably never thought about it, but I think if you pay more attention, you will see that it confuses our child just with a simple word like white, okay? So these are the kind of things we don't have control over, but you can have control over them. So even if you cannot homeschool your child, you can still sit down every day and find time to see what they're learning, check out their homework, go through their book bag, make sure you know their teachers, make sure you know a little bit about the teachers, make sure you know the school, what their rate is of their test scores, and, all these things. You have the right to know all of these things. You have a right because no one is really responsible for your child but you. Other people will take over the responsibility, but at the end of the day, they're not totally responsible for your child. You are the one who got them here to this earth, and it's your job to make sure that they are sustained and that they have the necessary tools embedded in their thinking that they need to move on in life and to survive here as you and I have survived, okay? So I did a lot of talking just off the top of my head, but I was trying to wait for Miss Paula. So she's not here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to close it out. We have like 7 minutes left in the show. Anybody, everything you want to say, now is the time to do so, 646-716-7572. And if you don't have anything to say, we're going to go ahead and just close the show out and let Miss Paula know that we waited for her. So, again, don't forget to visit her on her Facebook. She does have a Facebook called the Education of the Miseducated System with Miss Paula. If you go on there, just look up the Education of the Miseducated System, get her Facebook, like her page, and do her a favor and pass it around so everybody know that we are on the air every week doing this show and helping parents out there who feel like they cannot homeschool their child. That is the biggest myth ever. You can homeschool your child. You are the child's first teacher, and then once you remember that, then homeschooling will come much, much easier for you. So, again, thank you for joining us here on the Education of the Miseducated System with Miss Paula Massey. And I, the person you've heard run their mouth for the last 15 minutes, is Empress T. Makia Zarai, and we will talk to you again next time. Peace out, my family.
Dynasty Radio, 13. 1382.